What's up, everybody? I feel like I've been away from you guys for so long. I owe you a video. I owe you an episode. It's fun because every once in a while I feel like I'm in the hobby here. I'm making videos. My Eclipse video I just posted. Finishing that one up, and I did my news on Tuesday. I did my video of Cage Six rumors. I went on vacation. I still did all that stuff. I'm back, and I'm like, I haven't done an episode. I owe these guys an episode. What am I doing? I gotta jump on here. So it's funny. I haven't done an episode in a few days, but I feel like I'm still right in the hobby. The news was great. 5,000 views in the first 12 hours. That's a record. We'll see what it goes on to. Everybody seems to find the humorous ones a little bit more entertaining, I guess. I got to stick with the funny stuff. And, making hobby memes and all the other fun stuff. It's a lot of fun. A lot of excitement this time of the year, right? Coming to you first week of April, basketball is getting down to the nitty-gritty. And that play-in tournament becomes a little bit of fun, right? Teams have, single digit amount of games left. You're seeing the real elite teams like Boston really just turning it on. The Lakers and Golden State doing what they need to do to make sure they're at least in those play-ins. Houston, who had a huge run, seems to be falling off a little bit. But you combine that basketball's about to hit the playoffs with baseball just starting off, and that'll wane a little bit, right? Because it's a long season, but at least right now everybody's excited. It's like right out of the gate, you've seen already, Juan Soto have a great start. Mookie Betts has 5 home runs in the first week. Mike Trout is hitting monstrous home runs. The Mets have already been eliminated from playoff contention, and so it's been a fun first week. You got baseball. And then you got football. The draft is coming up. So that, talk of that's heating up. And all that has, implications and reverberations out through the hobby. Not to mention, as the weather starts to warm up, you're starting to actually see the national, the light at the end of the tunnel there. And it's not that far away. So this has always been sort of like, a real interesting and fun time in the hobby. So I'm excited for it. I really am. The sports are great. Me, as a Yankee fan, they lost yesterday, but they started the season off 5-0. That was pretty awesome. As a Raider fan, I'm excited to see who they draft. I wouldn't be upset if they really reached on Michael Penix. 13, that's a reach. He is a borderline first-round quarterback. He's moving up the draft boards a lot, but people reach for quarterbacks. We really need one. Aiden O'Connell is not the answer, and they cut Jimmy Garoppolo. And as much as I love Gardner Minshew, and he's serviceable, he's not taking you anywhere. We'll see. We'll see what happens. The team definitely needs a quarterback, especially when you have, Devontae Adams. You need somebody to throw him the ball. So anyway, they'll probably go defense because they have a new defense head coach. You didn't hear me talk about the Raiders, but I did want to, take note. It's an exciting sports time, and usually that translates into an exciting time for, sports cards. And the weather gets warmer and, we're all kind of, the road to the national sort of begins. We start to talk about who's going to win the MVP and in the NBA, who's winning a ring, sort of wide open. Is it Tatum's time to finally shine? Is Luka going to do something? Is it the Joker's time to win another MVP, another championship? Is OKC finally coming into their own in that, young team where they stockpiled draft picks and really just built this team together, are they going to do it? One of my teams from, that I talked about last year, Franz Wagner, and just that whole team. Orlando sneaking into potential contention for a home first round playoff series, which is, you're seeing some shifting in where we're going to be, and the changing of the guard, right? How many more years do you expect to see the Lakers, LeBron / the Warriors? They're now teams that might not even make the playoffs if not for the play-in. I think they're both sitting, as I record this, in 9 and 10 spot. So they'll get in. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. If not for the play-in, those are teams that could be, missing the playoffs. You got that. You got news of Bronny entering the transfer portal. Does that make the overpriced Bronny Braun one of one card even more overpriced now, because you have LeBron in a high school uniform and Bronny in a college uniform that is only going to be a college that he's known for playing 1 year and having minimal minutes in. And you'd like to hope that he goes somewhere where he gets some more time and actually is going to be, you know, more, known for whatever school he goes to there. It's sort of like, you know, Joe Burrow in an Ohio State card. Does it diminish it a little bit? I guess it depends, right? So just a bunch of fun stuff on my mind here, you know, as we come in here. I was on vacation with the family, had a lot of fun, and back, you know, renewed, more fun hobby stuff. A lot of auctions ended while I was gone. A lot of cool stuff selling, man. A lot of really cool stuff selling over the weekend. A lot of fun auctions coming up as well. I mean, that Kobe ring was just a crazy auction, and the back and forth on Twitter, if you didn't see it, you know, Ken Golden coming out and like defending the auction and defending the item, you know, just it is this space. I do a weekly news segment, you know, and I've started to try to make it a little bit, you know, like laughable and funny and the like. There's always enough news. They talk about like stuff that gets left on the cutting room floor for movies. There's always stuff left on the cutting room floor. That Kobe ring sale was, you know, going to be make it into the news, but it just didn't fit. You know, it just didn't make my final cut. So I bring it up here. All right, guys, we'll keep it short. So I'll probably do another episode later today, because you know I have a lot to talk about. But I wanted to get this story out there. Right, while I was on vacation, this story came to a conclusion. I got some messages from a listener, a friend, you know, somebody who I've seen at shows, somebody who has become a hobby friend, right? So this person reached out to me a few months ago with a I don't call it a problem, a hobby question, right? And it's someone who knows what they're doing. It's someone who, you know, has money, has cards, you know, has wherewithal and you know, has been doing this for a while, but just wanted to get my opinion on something. And it's a question I'm sure you guys have had. So I'll just throw it out there like this. Without naming the grading company, I'll say this. I'll narrow it down for you. It's a grading company that has three letters in its name. Wait a second. That didn't narrow it down at all. Anyway, it's a grading company that has three letters in its name. So he calls me up and he says, listen, I sent in a submission of cards to this grading company and I just got it back and the grades were not what I thought they would be. Let's just say it was a 50 card submission and 40 of those cards, I'm changing the numbers now to protect the innocent, but 40 of those cards came back nines. And they all look perfect. Like, they all look great. They all look fantastic. They're all modern cards. They're all, you know, CJ Stroud Prism colors. They're all Bryce Young Prism. They're all, you know, modern basketball. They're shiny cards. They're all centered. They all look nice. They all came back nice. None of them were like, you know, surface issues. None of them anything, you know, glaring. This is something I'm being told over the phone, right? So I don't have my microscope out. I don't have, you know, the ability to like really do an analysis of these cards. But what's funny is most of the grading companies don't do that either because they're grading so many cards. They just don't have time to do it. You know, some folks have done an expose on that. But I mean, I'm pretty sure that I read that in March, PSA graded more cards than they have ever graded in any other month ever. Now, I know they've added capability. I know they've done that. Yes, they have three letters in that name. I'm not saying that that's the company I'm talking about now. I'm just, you know, throwing it out there because it's newsworthy, right? That they graded over a million cards, some crazy 1.3 million or something like that. Just like an amazingly large amount of cards graded and more than they've ever really graded in a single month. How long are they really looking at each card? You know? So anyway, that's the backdrop on this, right? Like, I don't really think that, that the cards are really being looked at with such detail. Anyway, so the question posed to me is, what do I do? And, you know, with the hobby where it is and where it's been for the last, you know, year or so, I'm sure a lot of you guys are thinking to yourself, all right, I got an idea. You know, let's get some Kurtz card care and let's, you know, let's take each card and let's polish them all. Let's take those nines and, you know, or before we do that, I'll sell those nines on eBay. You know, ship them off the Probe Scene and sell them. And by the way, I've done this. I've done that a million times. Maybe a mistake. Maybe a mistake to do that. I've done this a million times myself. I'm just, all right, you know what? I'm going to keep some of the 10s. I'm going to ship off some of the 10s. I'm ship off some of the 9s, and they sell. And there's a huge difference on some of these modern cards between a PSA 9 and PSA 10. As a matter of fact, PSA 9, you get that back, you're basically losing your grading fee because PSA 9s right now are they're selling for basically raw, and in some cases less than raw. If people are just chasing the 10, all right? So it comes back 9, you're basically losing your grading cost on that. So it's probably a mistake to just take the 9s and ship them off, but I guess you're just trying to recoup what you're trying to recoup, right? Recoup the money and try it again. Anyway, I guess some people out there might be like, oh, let's rub some stuff on it. Let's rub some, you know, rub some Kurtz card care on it and, you know, wax it down and take care of surface issues, shine it up and send it back in, right? All right. Maybe somebody has some other ideas. Maybe take it and send it to Beckett or take it and send it to SGC. And maybe you get an SGC 10, you know, because PSA 9 a lot of times will cross over to an SGC 10. Maybe that's someone's idea. But, I mean, does an SGC 10 sell for significantly more than a PSA 9? I don't think so. You know, what are you going to do with it? Where are you going to send it? What do you do? And this was – it's an interesting issue because we're talking about thousands of dollars worth of cards here that this person has that if they are grading as 10s as opposed to these 9s, it's thousands of dollars in difference, right? It really is. It's just do I get rid of them and move them on, blah, blah, blah. So here's what I suggested. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing groundbreaking. I said I want you to take only 9s. All 40 of those 9s. I want you to crack them all out. I want you to send in only the ones that you know were 9s. Don't add in other cards. Don't put in anything else. Just take the cards that you just got back in the submission, crack them out, resubmit them all, put them back in penny sleeves, put them all in card savers, and send just in the 9s. Only the 9s. Again, don't send in any new raw cards. You might pull something out of a pack that week. It looks great and send it in, but don't do that. Only 9s. You're resending in only cards that right now, if you sold on eBay, would have to sell as PSA 9s. Okay? Send them right back in an order of just 9s. I got a text while I was on vacation from this person thanking me profusely because a large portion of those cards came back 10s from a 3-letter grading company. Not going to say who, but the 9s that were 9s were submitted only as 9s. Again, this is not me. This is what I'm being told by someone who reached out to me and asked me for help. And this was the suggestion I gave them. I'm now getting pictures of the same cards that previously weren't 10s and are now in 10 holders, not numbered cards. Maybe one or two of them might have been numbered. I can't guarantee. But most of them, you know, like Silver Prism, you know, base cards. And a lot of them, this person's thrilled. Great suggestion. Thank you so much. Everything is awesome. That was great. You name it. That's the best. The idea behind it, where my brain was that the graders are human. They're going to get in a stack of 30, 40 cards or whatever it may be. And they're going to compare them to each other. And they're not going to take a whole submission and only give you 9s. They're going to look for a 10 in that submission. They don't want to be the grader that is sending back an entire sub of modern cards without a 10 in it. That was just where my brain is. It's probably a fallacy. It's sort of like going in up to a roulette table and you're seeing it hit red 10 times. You're like, I got to put money on black. I mean, if you got 10 reds in a row, it's got to come up black eventually, right? It's like, oh, well, if I got this bunch of 9s in a row, there's got to be a 10 in here. Otherwise, maybe, you know, maybe I'm the one who's wrong. It's human nature. And I was banking on human nature, that a grader who's getting the modern cards is probably someone who's not going to be that trained, probably someone who's not going to be that, you know, not a senior level person with that much seniority at the company. And it's easier for them to take a 40 card submission and send out 20 of them with nines and 20 of them with tens. No one's going to question it. No one's going to complain. The person who sent it in is going to be happy with it. It's never going to be heard from again, and they can move on to their next grading submission. But if they send out a 40 card sub without a single 10 in it, the person getting that back might complain. The person getting that back might, well, how could I? Nah, these are all modern cards that just came straight from a pack. Not a single one of them is a 10. What's wrong with this grader? And then the grader's got to answer, wow, you know, did I do something wrong? Like, what happened here? Like, you know, and the grader's thinking to themselves, is there really no tens? Am I going to get in trouble for being a really hard grader? You know, all this stuff went through my brain when I made that suggestion. And I think it's all valid when there's a human element to it, sort of like umpires calling balls and strikes. I watched Aaron Judge get punched out on a strike call yesterday that was in the middle of his calf, 3, 4, 5 inches below the strike zone. He never really complains. He complained about that one. He was right. You know, you see the little robot, the little, like, you know, on TV, boom, where the ball is. You know, the ball's here and the strike zone starts here. You're, what the heck was that? It's human nature. And you know what? If Judge complains and the bullpen complains and the dugout complains and the manager complains, well, the next pitch that comes in that might be a borderline strike, the ump might not call it. Because now it's in the ump's brain. That's sort of what I was thinking with this, right? And I guess I was right. Because a lot of these cards that were 9 the first time came back 10s this time. But I'll leave you with this, guys. Doesn't that scare the shit out of you? If this whole thing is based on... Now let me take a pause. A lot of people are buying cards and grading cards so that they can have the card encapsulated in their collection. It is what it is, okay? And they take the card and they put it away, put a safe deposit box, you name it. But by and large, the grading industry has become a way to differentiate the same card from the same card. My card's a 10, your card's a 9, my card is better than yours, therefore it is worth more money. Because an independent evaluator, a third party, has deemed my card to be in better condition than yours. If my card is better than yours, but you can just take yours, send it back in, and have it come the same grade as mine, then isn't there a flaw in the system? Nah. I'm sure there's flaws in tech and flaws in computer grading, and, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is a lot easier than getting a card that's graded 981. But you understand what I'm saying. I've spoken a lot about the Kurtz Card Care and how it sort of rocked me to my core as a vintage collector. And how I no longer think of a Mantle 7, a 52 Topps Mantle 7, as my North Star in collecting, because it's sort of like a false reading. The magnets are out of whack. It's not truly the North Star that's being read on my compass. It's probably someone else's 4 that got soaked and scrubbed and cleaned and whatever else to it and then got thrown into a 7. This is the same type of thing. If you're at a show, you'll see 2 cards next to each other, a 9 and a 10, and the 9 is going to sell for significantly less than the 10. That price difference is based on the premise that we are paying grading companies to delineate our cards, to be an independent grader of those cards, and to have some knowledge, to have some value that gets brought to the equation, that when that card is slabbed as a 10 next to a card that's a 9, that card that's a 10 should have more value than the card that's a 9, because it is objectively based on objective grading standards, a better card in better condition. But since humans are subjective, is that grading really as objective as we think it is? And is that premium being placed on pens really warranted when so many cards sitting in nines right now are ones that could potentially be tens, and when so many cards sitting in tens right now may have previously been sitting right next to it in a nine? It's just my thought of the day. I'm in a happy mood, back from vacation, loving all the sports. This was a success story from an advice perspective, and for this particular collector to, you know, now probably sell every one of these cards, because I don't know about this guy, but if it was me, I would know those cards were originally nines. I would think of them as weak tens, and I'd want to get rid of every one of them. But doesn't that make me a bad guy too? Aren't I dumping nines in 10 holders into the market now onto somebody else? The greater fool theory. And if that's what's going on, if that's just what's going on here and it's just a roundabout way, what does that say for the space? What does that say for real money coming in? What does that say for investment money coming in? How do you explain that to somebody when you're trying to, you know, convince them this is a place to put real money? I don't have the answer. I'd be curious what you guys think in the comments. And that's episode 130, A True Hobby Story. Talk to you guys soon, everybody. Take care.